What is love? How many of you just said it and finished the sentence in your head? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. I did not put that video this morning. You know, we have videos now, and I couldn't, but I thought, no, a mature pastor would not be so childish. If I want to do it and don't do it, it's still just as bad, isn't it? I don't know. So we're talking about love. So the first week, what is love? We learned that love is patient. We talked about patience. Last week we talked about love is also kind. We discussed kindness. This week we're going to talk about love is forgiving. And the place that I'm getting this list of what is love is actually from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is where there's actually, I don't think it's an encompassing list, but it's a pretty good list of here's what love is. And the first one is love is patient, love is kind. One of those items on the list is love does not keep a record of wrongs, which means love doesn't keep track of everything you've done wrong. Love is forgiving. I forgive you for what you've done. This is a tough topic, and a lot of the stuff that I've been reading about and as I've been preparing for it, really we could have like a six-week series on just forgiveness, because this is one of those issues that can really become a big burden and cause frustrations in our lives. Because when we have unforgiveness in our lives, it can haunt us the rest of our lives. Like when we were in elementary school and we made that Christmas card for our friend, and our friend didn't really like the Christmas card, and they made that little snarky remark about it, and we still remember to this day making that Christmas card, and they didn't like it. Or in junior high, when your friend had a birthday party, but you didn't get invited to it, and it really hurt your feelings because you thought you were friends. But then I guess I'm not your friend. And most parents, the advice to them was, it's all right, just move on with your life, keep going. Sometimes this stuff happens, but you have to keep going. But as we get older, the offenses or the hurts that are caused, they kind of shift from, you know, like, well, you didn't like my Christmas card, to, well, I can't believe you betrayed me. As we grow up, the hurts, they kind of change shape. They become exponentially bigger in our lives, the way they seem. And today we're going to talk about a young man who is actually a great example of what forgiveness is. We're going to end up in Genesis chapter 20 or 45. That's where we're going to end, but I'm going to tell you the story of Joseph, and then we're going to finish with the way Joseph dealt with it. So this is the story of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was the youngest of 12 brothers. So if you think you had it bad with your siblings, some of you, I guess there are some people around here who grew up in really big families, but Joseph had 12 older brothers to compete with. He was the youngest, the smallest, probably the weakest of all of them, but his other brothers were born from a different mother. Like, Dad, it's a different story, but Jacob married this one woman first. He kind of got tricked into marrying her because he really wanted this other lady, but the dad tricked him because they did marriages differently. Like, you put this veil over the girl's face, and then you get married, and then you take the veil. Another good reason not to get really drunk on your wedding day is you need to make sure you're marrying the right person. But that didn't happen then. They got wasted, and then he didn't realize till after it was all over. So he married the wrong person first, and then he worked for a while, and then finally got the one he wanted. Well, with the first wife, he had a bunch of kids. The other wife that he really loved, she had a hard time having kids. So they had a bunch of brothers from the first wife, and then the one that, you know, the favorite wife, she had a son, Joseph. And the dad kind of favored this boy a little bit. And so the other brothers knew about it. And one day, Dad had this really nice Technicolor dream coat made for Joseph. That was funny. So there's this musical called Joseph and the Technicolor Dream Coat. Thank you. All right. So Dad had this coat made, and Joseph goes out to his brothers. They're all working. And Joseph goes out to them and says, "Hey, guys, look what Dad made for me. I'm the favorite." So they're sweating and working and taking care of the poopy sheep. And I'm wearing this fancy coat because I'm the favorite. "Oh, and by the way, I had this dream. You guys are all going to, like, be my servants. You're going to bow down before me and be my servants. Isn't that really cool?" I'd like to think that Joseph was naive in what he was doing. Some of us would say he's flaunting what he was doing. His brothers didn't think it was so funny, and they came up with a plan to make this all stop. Now, if you've grown up with other kids, especially bigger brothers, if you would have done something like this, it may have involved a swirly or a, what's the wedgie called? The atomic wedgie? It may have involved that, or just a good old-fashioned thumping. What Joseph's brothers decided to do was to kill him. Like, "We're going to make this stop." So they decided to kill him. They threw him in the well. They're trying to figure out how they were going to kill him. But Joseph's oldest brother says, "Hold on, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him as a slave. We'll kill a sheep, throw some blood on his fancy new coat. How do you like your coat now, boy? We'll throw some blood on it. We'll take it back to Dad and say, 'Hey, Dad, the wolves got him. We're sorry.' Meanwhile, we'll sell him, make some money, and while he's working his little tushy off, finally getting what he deserves, we'll have some money in our pockets and won't have to listen to him anymore." Thankfully, I don't think any of us have grown up in a family where our brothers tried to kill us. Maybe you have. I might be wrong. But Joseph got sold into slavery here. Maybe you did, okay? I don't know. At this point, if I was Joseph, I would be angry. I would say, "These people that were supposed to love me have sabotaged my life. Like, everything was going great. They were supposed to protect me because I'm their younger brother. They were supposed to look out for me, but they are the ones that have actually caused all of this pain in my life. And if I ever escape from here, you know I'm going straight back to Dad. And I'm going to tell Dad everything these boys did. Call themselves my family and look what they did. And if these guys think they're going to sell me off somewhere and I'm going to work on him, don't you realize I'm like really high up? My dad's Jacob. Don't you know who Jacob is?" So this is probably the mindset that some of us would take if we were betrayed. Like, "I had it real good until you sabotaged my life." But Joseph didn't have that option. He was sold as a slave. The slave traders took him to Egypt. And Joseph was actually an attractive, well-built young man. He was strong, probably had good teeth. And so, you know, unfortunately, that's one of those things that they really cared about. Probably had a nice muscular build. He was young. And so he attracted the attention of, like, one of the upper echelon people in Egypt. His name was Potiphar. And Potiphar bought Joseph as a slave. So what? Joseph's now bought as a slave. He is working in Potiphar's house for a while. He builds the trust. So this is Joseph, who was sold as a slave, decides, "All right, here I am. This is where I will be for a while, so I'm going to work." He builds the trust of Potiphar, this upper class person in Egypt, to the point that Potiphar trusts him with everything in his house. So now Potiphar has this young, strong, attractive young man walking around his house all the time. can go anywhere he wants, and Mrs. Potiphar realizes that there's a young, strong, attractive young man walking around my house. Mrs. Potiphar decides that she wants some of his Mr. Joseph. And so she propositions Joseph. And what Joseph says is, how can I cause such an offense? Of course not, I'm not going to do this. And he takes off. But in the meantime, we're all big boys and girls here. So Mrs. Potiphar is trying to take Joseph's clothes off of him. Like, hey, baby. And he says, heck no, I'm out of here. And he takes off, but she keeps his shirt like she rips it off of him. She realizes she is just caught, and if Joseph goes and runs his mouth, then she'll look bad, so she's going to run her mouth first. So she goes and says, Potiphar, this slave that you bought tried to rape me. And Potiphar gets really mad and says, you're going to jail. Now at this point, some of us would have a different reaction. So our brothers have betrayed us. Everybody in our life's out to get us. We have nothing. By this time, I know tons of secrets about this woman. So even if we do something, she's not going to say a word because I've got plenty of junk on her. Everybody else gets what they want. It's about time I get what I want. And right now what I want some is Potiphar. So maybe we wouldn't say it. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you trusted me with everything that you have, and I have never betrayed you. I know where all your money is. I know all of your secrets, and I've never once said anything. And now you're going to do this to me? See if I ever help anybody again. Joseph got thrown in jail, and he spent some time in jail. And if I was in jail, having my brothers try to kill me and then decide just to sell me as a slave, and then I work my tail off for Potiphar, and then his floozy of a wife comes up with some excuse for why I'm such a horrible person, and I get thrown in here. Those are two huge things where I have trusted people, and they have cut my heart out. And now I'm in jail, and I'm just going to sit here. And don't you ever think anybody's ever going to get anything out of me again. But that's not what Joseph did. He said, here's where I am. What needs to be done? Well, the jailer had some jobs that needs done. And I'd be like, hey, jailer, that's your problem. You fix it. I'm a prisoner. You're the jailer. You don't even know what you're doing. That's your job. And I would have the ability to make the jailer look stupid because he doesn't know how to do his job. But Joseph said, this is where God has placed me. I have the ability to help here, so Joseph did. Joseph helped the jailer run his jail so smoothly that the jailer put Joseph in charge of the entire jail. And then there are some guys that came in. One was the cupbearer to the king. We don't have cupbearers, but back then they did. They were someone who tasted the king's drink before he gave it to the king. So if there's any poison in it, if anybody's trying to kill the king, the cupbearer will die first. Because the cupbearer tastes the drink. Well, the cupbearer did something and made the king mad, I guess, and got thrown in jail. And the baker. You think your cooking's bad. At least you don't get thrown in jail for it. The baker got thrown in jail too. While they were there, they got to know Joseph. And these two men had dreams. And so they're sitting around telling their dreams, and Joseph says, oh, I know what your dreams mean. And to the cupbearer, he said, hey, pretty soon they're going to release you and you're going to go back to serving the king. And he's like, sweet, that's awesome. And Joseph said, hey, when you get back there, would you do me a favor and mention me to Pharaoh? Just like, hey, there's this guy in there named Joseph. And the cupbearer says, sure, I'll do that. Then the baker comes along and says, what about my dream? And Joseph says, well, you're going to be impaled on a pole. Oh, that's not a good thing. So I guess he did something wrong. What happens is these two men, both of their dreams come true. The cupbearer goes back to serving the king, and it says for 2 years the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. Like, look, you remember the guy that gave you all this good news and said, hey, here's something great going to happen. Can you do me one favor? And then you promised to do me one favor, and then you had one job, and you didn't. You either lied to me, or I wasn't important enough to you for you to follow through, and I'm still sitting here 2 years later. This is what's happening to Joseph. He sat there for another 2 years in jail. At this point, I'd be like, what's the point of this? I keep trying. People keep abusing me. They keep lying to me, hurting me. Whatever. But Joseph kept working. And it said about 2 years later, Pharaoh was the ruler of the biggest part of the known world. That guy had a dream, and he couldn't understand it. And the cupbearer is in with Pharaoh, and he's like, oh, I just remembered something. I was in jail with this guy that could tell us what our dreams meant. So they called Joseph out, and Joseph came before Pharaoh, and Joseph said, here's what your dream means. And Pharaoh said, you're amazing. I'm going to put you in second in command of everything. So now Joseph goes from a prisoner to the second highest person in the known world. And I'm like, nice. Now, tell me again where that lying little Mrs. Pharaoh is, because I've got some business to do. Now that I have all the power she ever wanted, I'm going to set some things straight. March my little self over to that house and say, hey, liar. How about you spend 7 years in jail? Get on down there. Because Joseph had the authority to do that. And then when I'm done with Mrs. Potiphar, I'm going to march my little self back to my brothers and say, hey, boys, remember that well? How about you jump in there? But Joseph didn't do that. He said, this is where God has placed me, and I'll just work. So God put Joseph in this position of authority over everyone. And Joseph did not retaliate. Wow. To have all of the authority to do everything you could ever want to all the people who have ever hurted you, hurted. Let's go back to kindergarten. To all the people who have ever hurt you, you have the ability and you choose not to. Well, Pharaoh's dreams came true. And what Pharaoh's dream said is that you're going to have 7 years of fantastic crops. Like, it's going to be incredible. After those 7 years are over, you're going to have 7 years of famine, like drought. You're not going to have anything. That was Pharaoh's dream. Joseph said, hey, God's given you an idea of what's going to happen in the future. Pharaoh said, why don't you get us through this? So Joseph built huge storage bins, and every year they put back some of the grain because they knew what was coming. For 7 years they stored that grain, and then the famine started. And it says 2 years into the famine, Joseph had some visitors from up north. These brothers came down to Pharaoh to ask for grain, to buy grain. And when they walked in, Joseph was like, oh no. Do you know that feeling when you haven't seen somebody that's hurt you for a long time, and then you're in the grocery store, and there they are, and your stomach does a little flip-flop? Maybe. I hope you don't, but yeah, we know that. Or even if you're just driving. So ours was, we were driving through Columbus, and you park at you're at a stoplight, and the light's red, and you can't go anywhere, and they pull up next to you, and they do this. And you're like, never mind. That feeling. These brothers who wanted to kill him show up, and are at his mercy. Please, we need food or we're going to die. Some interesting things happen here. We notice that Joseph, like, turns around when he's talking to these. The boys don't recognize him because Joseph now speaks Egyptian and he looks like an Egyptian. So his brothers don't recognize him. He's talking to them, and it says at different times he turns around and sobs, regains his composure, and then comes back to deal with it. We can see from this that Joseph still carries some of that hurt, like, you were supposed to love me. But never once does he retaliate. He does test them. It's a pretty fun test. I won't go through the whole thing, but he kind of sets them up so he can keep some of the boys here because he wants to see his dad. So he set them up, pretend like they stole something, and he keeps one of the brothers like, all right, go back and get this new brother that I have that I don't know about. Well, go get your youngest brother and bring him back here. And if you're telling the truth, I'll let you have some grain. So it's a fun story. What happens is they end up coming back. When they come back and Joseph's like, they're telling the truth. And he hears the story of these brothers who realize almost 20 years ago, we had a young brother and we treated him so wrong and our heart is broken over what we did. And we have a hard time living with ourselves. And now they have committed themselves to protecting the new youngest brother. That's what Joseph realized. Like, they can't live with what they've done. You know what Joseph did? He turns around and sobs again, regains his composure, and he says, everybody out but these guys. Now, if it was us, what we could say is, finally, the world is going to know what kind of person you really are. Can we convene the council? Bring everybody in, because I want you to know what they did. When we get hurt and we have the chance to air it, well, we do. We don't log into our Facebook and we're going to type. I just can't believe some things that some people do. Duh. And nobody in the world has a clue what you're talking about, except you're mad about something, but you won't say it, so you just let everybody know, I'm mad. But if you could say, can you believe that whatever her name is did this to me? I want everybody to know that this is the kind of person this person really is. If you could do that and get away with it, if you could write an article in the newspaper and get away with it, Joseph doesn't do that. He says, everybody that doesn't need to hear this, get out. And Joseph deals with his brothers directly. And he says, hey, he's been speaking in Egyptian this whole time. And then he flips and speaks to them in their own language and says, I'm your brother Joseph. Can you imagine the heart attack those guys had? Like, oh snap. Here's the really cool part. This is what I want us to look at. In Genesis chapter 45, the beginning, verse 1, it says, Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out, all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. Like, Joseph's fallen apart. This is what he told his brothers. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. He said, please come closer. So they came closer, and he said again, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. It's me, the guy you wanted to kill but sold into slavery. This is how we know how Joseph, what he says next, this is how we can tell how Joseph has been dealing with this his entire life. When he was sold as a slave, when Potiphar's wife lied about him, when he was in jail a whole lot longer than he needed to be. He didn't need to be there to begin with. But we see every step of the way Joseph continued to live. At some point, Joseph could have started to become bitter. I've had enough. I don't like people. I just want everybody to be away from me. Bitterness would have showed. Bitterness results in death. I don't know if you may have heard this saying before, but bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. I'm mad at you, and I'm going to hold it and nurture it and water it. And this bitterness, I'm going to let grow in my own life and hope that you die from it. That's what bitterness does. Joseph has decided, these people have hurt me, but I am going to continue to grow at East Place that God puts me. Instead of being bitter, I'm going to live right where God has placed me. And in verse 5, we see how Joseph has gotten through this. So he's just told his brothers, I'm your brother that you sold into slavery. But don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves. Mike, you can be angry all you want, and I sure hope you feel bad. And it would be nice if you didn't get any sleep tonight. But Joseph says, don't be angry with yourselves. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. I would have thought, all of this time, they were trying to kill me, and maybe God just had it out for me. Maybe God was trying to kill me too. But Joseph said, God has sent me here ahead of you. If you hadn't have sold me into slavery, I wouldn't have gone to Potiphar's house. If I hadn't gone to Potiphar's house, his little floozy of a wife wouldn't have lied about me and got me thrown in jail. If I hadn't been in jail, then the cupbearer wouldn't know that God has given me the ability to interpret dreams. And if the cupbearer didn't know that, he wouldn't have told Pharaoh that I can interpret dreams. And then if Pharaoh didn't know I could interpret dreams, we'd all be dead. If you hadn't sold me into slavery, we'd all be dead. Joseph says, don't be angry with yourselves because God has sent me ahead of you to prepare to save your lives. That's how we can see that Joseph has not hung on to the anger in his life. God knows exactly where I am. He's put me here for a reason. What can I do to grow right where I am? Which is different than saying, at one point in time, somebody did something to me, and I'm going to stay in this one point in time for the rest of my life, and I'm never going to move past it. And if I ever get the chance, I'm going to retaliate. But Joseph doesn't do that. He realizes that God is the one who is overseeing everything happening. Did God make Joseph's brothers hate him? I don't believe so. God doesn't cause hate in people's lives. But his brothers did hate him, so God used that situation. Did God make Mrs. Potiphar an adulteress? I don't think so. But God knew she was an adulteress, so he said, I can use that to accomplish my plan. We have things that happen in our lives that it's hard to figure out, like, did God cause this to happen? Did he allow it to happen? Well, I don't know. I can tell you that God does not cause evil in your life. But some people will listen to the devil. There are some people who will do what Satan asks them to do. And what God is able to do is say, in spite of their disobedience, I'm going to take this situation and turn it into something so that you can grow and you can be used later on. What Joseph did was he surrendered his right to get even. He gave it to God. God, you're in control. Whatever you want to happen, I'll let you happen. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not saying what you did is okay. please do it 20 more times. It doesn't mean, wow, I hope you do it to 10 other people too. Forgiveness means God is the one who will hold you accountable for what you did. I'm going to continue to live. And when I let God be in charge of what's going on, then God can say, all right, since you are willing to grow right here, I'll help you grow. And then, you know what's coming next. I have a bigger responsibility for you. What I would like for us, myself included, silly little phrase, but maybe it'll stick, is if you want to live, you need to forgive. Our choices are hold on to where we, to the hurt, and become bitter and die. Or surrender it to God, say, God, you can have it, and I will continue to go on with my life. Those are the choices we have. In this story, Joseph's brothers came back and they apologized. Not everybody comes back and apologizes. Most people don't come back and apologize. And we could talk about that too. But the way we deal with it is still the same. When it happens, we say, God, you see this, you're in control, and I will give it to you. I'm going to go on with my life. Some things are harder to do that with than others. I understand that. But the desire is still there. It belongs to God, and in spite of what anybody does to me, God is still able to use me. That's what forgiveness is. It's being willing to say, I know that you harmed me with this, but I'm going to continue to live. And God will deal with it. Okay? Love, when we see it the way God sees it, is allowing him to be in charge, and he continues to give life. So when I forgive, I say I choose to live. And I hope that we can, as a church. Sometimes we're the ones that hurt people. Sometimes that pain has happened right here. If we're the one that have caused hurt, it would be good for us to be like the brothers and say, I realize what I did, and if I could do anything to change it, I will. If the hurt's been caused to us, hopefully we can be like Joseph and we can say, God has seen me through every step. And we can continue to live our lives. So maybe you don't need this morning, maybe you do, but at some point, somebody's going to hurt you, and you will have to choose what to do with this. Joseph struggled, we see that, because he wept. It wasn't easy, but he chose. And what God wants for us is for us to choose to forgive and to continue to live. If there's something that, maybe something's in your mind right now, I have something in my mind right now, like, Ben, this applies to you too. I will choose to love people the way God wants me to. We're going to close in prayer. And as we're praying, I would ask that you continue to give that to God. Let him be in charge of it and ask him to bring life back into you. Because he has more. Until you are dead, God has something more for you. Okay? We will continue to live. Let's pray. I thank you, God, for forgiving me, and thank you for continuing to give me chance after chance. I'm glad that you do not hold my past against me. You don't. I still do sometimes, but you don't. Help me to take that same approach with other people in my life, that I will choose to let you deal with it, and I will continue to live. I hope that as a church we can be a good example of what it means to be forgiving and loving. This week, as people cut us off in traffic, or our coworkers talk about us, or we're reminded of what happened years ago, that you will give us opportunities to grow and to become more of who you want us to be. My hope is that when this happens, I can become mature enough to say, God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Get me to the place, get all of us to the place where we can love people the way you do. We can hope the best for them and that they come to know you the way we do. We trust you with our lives, even when we don't know what's going on. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ladies, hope you have a good trip. And men, we will see.